You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors for another day, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow. And as always on a Thursday, it's the 5 o'clock dream team with David Shapiro from Sasson Securities, deputy chairman of that institution, and also Nick Kunzer from Sanlam Private Wealth. I got sent something today, gentlemen, an old video of the Barmy Army, the English cricket supporting club, of which I'm a member. And I remember being with them when we were singing at the time. We started off, "We've got 15 rand to the pound. We've got 15 rand to the pound." And then it went up. And then just as it got to 23, it's got, "We've got 23 rand to the pound." And then it goes on, "We're so rich, it's unbelievable." And that was years and years ago. And now suddenly it's 23 rand to the pound again, David. The rand secretly is getting absolutely destroyed.
Yeah. It when I saw it going up to 1750, 1760, there are a couple of stories, but I think the big one today is the Turkish lira, which was down 2.5%, and over the last 3 days is about 4.5%. So I don't know pair trades. It's something I've learned from Nick, recently. To me, a pair trade was, I don't know,
buying
apples and pears and that. but obviously, there's a connection with the Brazilian real and all these. And once one goes or falls like that, it does have a pull down effect on that. What the reason is behind the Turkish lira, I'm not sure. I don't know whether it's instability that's come from this huge Beirut explosion, and there might be more to it. Whatever it is, the lira has taken a dive, and that's what rattled us. But I mean, if you want to find reasons why the rand is at those levels, Lizzie, I can give you others, which may be unconnected, but I think really...
Lack of leadership, it's called. Lack of leadership.
Yep.
It's as simple as that. Nick, what do you think about the rand at the moment? Because obviously it affects your asset allocation, your whole portfolio spread, everything that you do every single day.
Yeah, evening, guys. No, it's a very difficult one to digest, because on the one hand, you are concerned about emerging markets, and you look at where the dollar does and the euro does and EM does, and we talk about it often on your show, but we do have to compare apples with apples and not apples and pears, as David said. And we have to look at what the Turkish lira is doing. Look at what the Russian ruble is doing. Look at what the Mexican peso is doing. So when there's a sell order coming in from the guys with the deep pockets and emerging markets around the world, and they say, "I want to sell EM currencies," unfortunately, the most liquid currency in the world in emerging markets is the rand. We have a nice tight double. We are very actively traded. And in fact, I think we're fifth or sixth in the world for most traded currency. So that's what they tend to go for. So that's what David's saying now is exactly right. Someone has got nerves about Turkey. They've seen the explosions in Beirut. There's Syria to concerns. All of a sudden, there's geopolitical risks. You want to short EM, you will sell the rand. And unfortunately, we get knocked accordingly. But add on to the fact, and I think this ties into the last few days of conversation, is it's not just a sell EM story. I also get the feeling there's a 50 cent premium on top, which is also sell the rand story too, because of the shenanigans we've got at home as well. So as much as an EM story, it's not just that. I mean, add on 50. So, it's 17.50 to the dollar. 50 cents of this is probably also our own, shooting ourselves in the foot as well.
Do you know, I was talking to Lindsay while we were waiting for you to answer.
Just
Kevin Lees did a presentation and kind of shook me, because I don't track what's happening in the bond market. I track rates. And but in Kevin's presentation, and this came from Treasury, so he was just collating data that came from Treasury. So it's not his own unique data or his own private data. But what happened is that you'll see that foreigners have pulled out of the bond market. There's been a huge abandonment or selling of SA bonds. Obviously, it came with junk status and so on. The second thing is that pension funds have also reduced their exposure. But the gap has been taken up by banks, our local banks. And maybe a few hedge funds. But, Nick, the point I make, and when Lindsay went short the other day of bonds, you say, hold on a sec, how long can our local banks continue to absorb whatever they do every day, you know, a billion odd rand every day,
So notwithstanding, Lindsay's disastrous trade.
It's 4.5 points. It's 4.5 points, Nick Kunze.
I mean, let's be honest. I mean, the 10-year benchmark is extraordinary. I mean, it's 9.9%. So one hand, you've got the sell EM, get out of SA, which I get a feeling a lot of foreign investors are doing.
Yeah.
And on the other hand, you've got this, this almost like this blind faith in the carry trade, which says I'm getting 9.29% of five continue, and I'll buy it blindly regardless. So again, that correlation between the rand and the 10-year benchmark is wider than it's ever been. I mean, that thing has hardly budged. It's moved 0.035 pips, but yet the rand has moved 1%. So, or in the last week, I'd say that dislocation has got wider and wider. Yeah. It's a bit of a head scratch.
Take that and take commodities. You know, in past times, you know, in my past life, when commodities were very strong, the gold of 2050, even though we don't produce the stuff anymore or a lot of it, and so on. You've got iron ore today at $118, et cetera, and yet the rand's weakened. In those kind of times when China was buying, we were rocking. And hold on a sec, the rand's, you know, we're going the other way.
Let me throw something else. As being a sort of an active trader who looks at the whole mix. So I want to see when the price of apples goes up and the price of pears goes down. I want to throw in the rand. I want to throw in a few other little things into the mix. You know, those sort of metrics sort of work quite well. The last week or two, they're all broken down. So there's a real dislocation happening. And I'm not sure how it pans out in the long term, Lindsay and David. I don't know. But there's definitely something evidently happening within the South African space.
There's something very, very much so. And the more people I speak to and the more screens I look at, I just say to myself, something's not quite right here. There is something going on. And anyway, it'll all pan out in the end. But anyway, gentlemen, the other thing that happened today, and we don't need to dwell upon it because it's been a story for many, many weeks now, I think 20 or 21 weeks, is the US jobless claims, the weekly jobless claims. Another 1.2 million people filing for jobless claims for the first time. And you know, the startling thing was, I didn't even look at it because I said to myself, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It could be 5 million. It could be plus 5 million. Doesn't matter because the market wants to go up and the US Federal Reserve will make the market go up and that's the end of it. David, isn't it sad that 1.2 million people don't factor into my broadcasting day? It's pathetic.
Well, that's lower than everyone has expected and the gross amount was. But I mean, tomorrow we have job numbers, but I'm with you on this side. The market wants to go better. And Nick reminds us every session we have that, what's it, just follow the screen in front of you, go
trade the screen
in front of you, not trade.
And you have to do that, you know, otherwise you're going to get punished. And whatever, we're not big enough or rich enough to actually change the flow.
We're not as rich as you with your extraordinary art collection. But on another conversation, I must tell you, I had this like almost rant at one of my Salem colleagues today, saying, I'm getting this feeling that we are almost like the old commodity days of the 1980s, where you'd read about those old trend followers, you know, the old turtle traders, the guys, the Curtis Faith and the George Soros of the world would trade these breakouts. And I always get the feeling that we're very much in a trend momentum following market. And we might very well be breaking out in gold. We could be breaking out in silver, platinum, plate. Who knows? I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I'm not. My job is not to forecast what trends are doing, but I get this feeling we might be in that environment. We might be heading into a 10-year trend. Who knows?
Yeah.
But
a super cycle, in other words.
A super cycle. But our jobs, David and I, of trying to dissect fundamentals, look for value, do our stuff, it's becoming almost irrelevant because. We can't read the numbers. The C-suite are saying to us that things are cancelled. Ford guidance are cancelled. The numbers that are coming out of coronavirus, of all the jobless numbers from 1 week to the next, are either believable or they're not believable. It's almost impossible. So the momentum guys are the ones that are actually getting it right. I'm finding this job that we do now, David, like more and more difficult to try second gear. I never said it was easy, but my goodness me, it's becoming more harder.
Let's have a look and see how hard it is today, if you'll pardon the expression. The dollar rand is 17.51. The British pound against the rand is 23.01. Goodness me. The euro rand is 20.75. Uh-huh. The euro dollar is 118.50. So the dollar is slightly stronger to the tune of 0.13%. The rand is weaker to the tune of 1.1%. This is independent rand and EM, in other words, emerging market currency weakness. The gold price is 20.54. It's only up $16. It was at 20.70 earlier today. Can you, Adam and Eve, it? The platinum price is 9.74, up $4 an ounce, coming well off its highs. Palladium, please, Nick Kunze, press the button.
Yeah, I'll press the button. 22.20 at the moment. So it's up $36, Lindsay, or 1.68% to 20. 1.68%. Nice day.
Oil price coming.
Have a look at silver.
Yes. What is it doing?
What, is that a hint or is that a
That's an instruction from the old boy. While you're looking for silver. I'm going to get West Texas Intermediate crude. Is up very slightly at $42. Listen, you two, whose show is this? $42.23 for WTI. Brent crude oil is $45.42. Both slightly higher. Nick Kunze, silver, please.
3.77%. That's up 1% on the day. $28 at the moment.
Can you believe it?
But I will say this, to add to David's enthusiasm, that is up 52% year to date.
Yeah.
And what do you do with silver? Nobody knows. Bit of battery stuff.
I don't know. As we said in the last conversation, if I tell you the acceleration of phone calls, like in this lockdown period, working from home for Sunlum, bless Sunlum, please give me a receptionist because – If I have to have another 10 calls of why I should buy silver on a daily basis, it makes me very nervous. But Dave, hey, you guys are right. You guys are listening out there. You know, up another.
The difference between with all three of us, between Sergi, Lindsay, and Nick and myself is that I got married at a time where it was.
Oh, you didn't buy a silver wedding ring, did you? Did you buy a silver wedding ring?
No, but people would give me. I got silver candlesticks, and then I got silver wine holders. What do you call them? You know, you're from England. You know, what do you put the wine bottle in? That's, you know,
my mouth usually.
Yeah,
a decanter.
No, not the decanter. The
I don't know.
So you don't mess the table. You know, you put it on like a coaster. Oh, but this is silver wrapped coaster.
David, you are the archetypal Renaissance man of Johannesburg. I don't have anything up with my red wine. But anyway.
Gentlemen,
I was married nearly 50 years ago, so.
Can we compose ourselves, please? Today on the Stock Exchange News Service, we had results out from MTN. I'm going to stay with you, David, on this one. MTN. No. I mean, it's got 260. How many people does it service now? 261.5 million subscribers. Yeah. That's an awful lot of people.
Yeah, they gave us the results a week or two ago, not even that long. So I don't think this was any surprise. I think the surprise is they are withdrawing from the Middle East. I don't think it's, you know, they've announced that this is, I think it must be enormous pressure for them to operate in Iran, and they can't get the money out. There must be huge issues with the US over their other operations, you know, them being involved in Iran. So I don't know what it means to the bottom line. I haven't got that far, but
I'm going to tell him when I shoot straight back at you, because I actually really like Australia. I think it's one of my best shares. I mean, Iran is 3% of its revenue.
Okay.
I mean, it's very irrelevant on the scheme of things. Even after the dividend cut this morning, they still pay a dividend of north of 4%. The share's down 28% year to date. The PE is 12. I just think it's one of these shares that have been unfairly punished. As David rightly pointed out, they're very involved in Nigeria. You know, the Nigerian Naira, it's prone to devaluing it, all the rest of it. I think these guys are unfairly punished. In this environment, we're all working from home, speaking on data, all the rest of it. I, I don't know. For me, 59 rand a share when it used to be back up at
220.
I mean, what was that? 220, are you kidding me? Was it that high?
Yeah.
Yeah, went into the 200s.
Oh, sure.
I think.
Well, let me just check here. You're right. Yeah, well north of 200. So yeah. I just think 59 rand a share, this is one of these lockdown stocks that maybe the kitchen sink's been thrown at and you should probably take a look
at. But they didn't pay a dividend, and that's what I don't understand. No, they're doing so well, they're not paying a dividend, and the lockdown plays into their hands because people use phones more, therefore they want another phone or they want to revamp their phone facility. But anyway, let's move on to something else as well, because we had three others, in fact, City Lodge, Glencore, and Mondi. I want to talk about City Lodge because they came out with their rights, what does it say here? Distribution of rights offer circular. Share price up 22.25%. I mean, obviously off a very low base, but it's quite a big move. David, you're a City Lodge analyst.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, 22%, you can't really look at it. I mean, they raised money out of sheer desperation. You can imagine what they're going through at the moment. My sadness is that this has always been a good operation from the time that Hans Enderle, you remember him, started it. And I've always enjoyed them. And they've had a certain, they've been well positioned in the market, mainly for businessmen, not the high level businessmen who like to, you know, have, long lunches and so on. But, for those that just want to go in, you know, want a room, want a shower, etc. And it's just sad that this is coming to an end and has come under pressure. This is not a tourist. This is not for tourists, although they do try to sell rooms over the weekend at very special prices. But they're not positioned for tourists. You know, they're not positioned in those areas. So I just find it, it just hurts me that they have come down. And they're down 70-odd percent more, close to 80% on the year. So they've been totally destroyed.
Yeah, 73%. And, market cap of 1.9 billion.
That's crazy.
David said, I mean, I don't know. I mean, maybe correct me if I'm wrong, but I mean, at a 5 PE.
Yeah.
I mean, surely this is one of those ones you stick in your, I don't know, recovery SA basket shares. I don't know. I mean, if you have one of those little baskets available. It's got to be one worth a look, really.
Well, that together with Sun International, and you can throw in Sogo HCI as well, which has they all down in the region of 70-80%. I mean, and these are bricks and mortar stuff. The problem is, can they survive? You know, if this carries on, if we don't get a holiday season or a.
I mean, David, you spot on there. I mean, the question we've got is, I mean, we've seen them with the rights issue now. You know, they're coming with the rights issue, you know, because they have to, not because any other reason. It's because they have to. You know, the cash flow is a problem. So, I don't know. But it's recovery shares, basket, maybe Williams. Maybe it's one of these recovery hedge funds you want to put together.
Yeah, maybe. We'll call it the Hail Mary. We'll call it the Hail Mary, as John Robbie used to say. It's a Hail Mary, Lindsay.
That's when he got – when he was given a pass. Yeah, that's
– Exactly. Mondi came out with results. Let's not talk about John Robbie, my old boss. Mondi came out with its half-year results today, up nearly 6%. And on the other side of the coin was Glencore coming out with their half-year report, as they call it, down 4.1%. Who wants to choose one of those two stocks? We haven't got time for both of them. Who wants to choose either?
I think they're both dividend stories, so go, Nick.
Okay, Nick, there you go.
No,
David, actually, you do it then.
In his house,
David?
Well, Mondi's resumed its dividend.
Okay,
so
good.
There again, I think, the results were largely expected. I mean, they're not good results, but they reflect the times. But I think the fact that they had made an announcement that they were suspending dividends and now have backtracked and said that they're going to pay a dividend, I think that got the share price up. I quite like the operation, but listen, they will go with the economy. You know, particularly packaging is a good indication of what's happening in the economy. So I think that from that point of view, but they're a good business, but I think times are difficult. The one thing that they did say is they're having, you know, they're being pushed down by prices. They're having very, very difficult times with pricing. In other words, they haven't got control of their prices. The market controls it. And that's a big negative.
This is a very interesting question I'm going to ask both of you now, which is probably not appropriate for because we haven't got that much time left. But if you said to somebody who knew nothing about markets, but just said, listen, go out there and try and find a company that you think is doing well, and if it's listed on the JSE Securities Exchange or elsewhere, then invest in it. Or if it's doing badly, then ignore it. If you brought home, for example, a big bag of Woolies or Pick and Pay or ShopRite's or Spar's goods, and you put it on the kitchen table and you took everything out and you unpacked it, you'd have the food on the left and the packaging on the right. What would you say? You've got to buy a food producer, or do you have to buy somebody that packages the food? Because I find that the packaging is extraordinary. It is a bigger pile than the food itself. And David, you're a shopper.
No, you're dead right. It used to apply. We used to use that gauge. It doesn't work anymore because it's a very competitive area. And I think the introduction of imports, you know, of foreign markets and that, I think just has really challenged that, that view. But you're right. You know, it does look like a huge amount of space, but the packaging companies from Nampac, you can buy Impac, Nampac, all of these businesses for absolutely nothing if you want to control machines. You know, if you like machines, you can buy these companies for virtually, but you're not going to make much profit. Sorry.
Okay. Right, let's have a look at the big movers on the JSE today, if I can just do my normal thing and try and manipulate my screen. Okay, Mondi.
Yes, there was all prepared for Glencore.
Go for Glencore.
Don't be booting Arvin Glasenberg out the park.
Are you joking?
Big Ive, I mean, what the hell?
David knows Ivan Glasenberg, by the way.
No, I know him very well. Yeah. Was that announced?
So Glencore came out with results earlier, and I digress. I mean, Lindsay was asking, and
they're down 7.5% now. I'm looking, it's on my screen. Yeah.
No, Big Ive is feeling a little bit pinched at the moment. But there's a lovely story for a conversation the other day how he paid the entire tax for his canton in Switzerland, but to join the club. But that's a story for another day. I was very surprised it sold off, because I thought Glencore were one of the few trading commodity houses left in the market. And I, we haven't enough time on the show, gentlemen, to discuss what I think we're heading into the next 10-year commodity trading bull market, but that's a conversation for another day. But Glencore, this is what they do. They are traders. Mm. They're commodity traders. 70% of the income is derived from trading commodities. They came out with income, and the market was a little upset. They proposed a $2.6 billion dividend payment, and then Big Ive decided to pull it. Upset the market. Yeah, that wasn't well liked. But, I mean, in this environment, when you're getting iron ore moving, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10% a day, you're getting the price of – I mean, we speak about all the time on our Tuesday and Thursday shows. The commodity markets, these guys are traders. I think these guys are where you want to be. Throwing the fact that they have the largest portfolio of attached to lithium, which is used in electric batteries for electric vehicles, for the likes of Tesla, who they've had a unique agreement with. And I think they're worth taking a look at that. Yeah. But I don't know. Why do you think it was down 7%?
You know, I don't know why it's down 7%, but do you think there's more to the dividend? You know, they've got a lot of Department of Justice investigations into their trading.
No, I think exactly
are they settling?
I think there's a big asterisk there saying, buyers beware, because Department of Justice, no secret, they're after them. I mean, since the days of Mark Rich, since the days of Bill Clinton pardoning Mark Rich on the, literally on his last, literally on the last day of office of Mr. Clinton. But anyway, again, another conversation for another day, but I don't know, David. I think this is a buy.
Well, it's only down 4.1% in South Africa, maybe down 7% in London or Switzerland, wherever it's listed. But anyway, top five major moves. Mondi up nearly 6% today. Sappi up 5.1%. Pick and Pay up 3.5%. Transaction Capital up 3%. TFG, the old Fashini, up just over 2.5%. Hammerson getting hammersoned. down 16.5%. DRD Gold down 5.75%. Liberty Holdings down 5.5%. That one makes me nervous. Glencore down 4.1%. We've spoken about that extensively. And Harmony down nearly 4%. Anything else outside of those stocks, chaps? I don't think so. Nick, what are the closing indices on this very interesting day?
Yeah, it was an interesting day, gents. I mean, we're up a lot more in the open, but we're still squeezed into the green. But I think, correct me if I'm wrong, gents, fourth day in a row. So
yep.
JSE All Share up just 27 points, 0.05%, but we will take it. 57,655. Top 40, pretty much the same, 71 points firmer. Closing at 53,350. And next, drill down to indices. Utilities, absolute flyer. That index up almost 7%, 6.9%. Consumer cyclicals up 0.77. Telecommunications up 0.56. And if we look at the downside, the laggers, we had financials, the banks were the real lagger, down 0.51. Industrials down almost 0.93. And energy shares, I think that was led by likes of Sasol and the like, that was down 2.81%.
And the value traded was what?
Value traded was quite decent, actually, 23.8 billion. So there's people here, they're still involved.
We didn't even mention
JSE.
Yeah, we saw that yesterday, didn't we? Yeah, the share price was up very nicely. Did it continue its momentum today?
Yeah, I was a little bit up, but I mean, I'm just saying that in the like of all the volume coming back, so, you know.
Do you know where the volume trading? You know where they trade? Because I watch, like you, every day, and I watch these trades and that. And if anything, it's underwhelmed. But I think what we ignore is the bond market. There's massive trades there. And I think that propped up. Or that was an angle that we hadn't really factored in. But on the equity market, it's, you know, 23 billion with a rand where it is. It's not huge. But
I think at some point we can all discuss, maybe sometime next week, but for me, and I've done a lot of homework on it, there's a real dislocation in the last week or two between the rand and the bond market and what's going on, because there is those used to be tick for tick for year after year, and the last 2 weeks it's dislocated. So something is going on. But Lindsay, you're so connected in this world. I mean, you can.
Oh yeah, you think so? Yeah, yeah. That's why I'm so rich. That's why I'm speaking to you now, because I'm so well connected. Yeah, I just do it for fun. Gentlemen, thank you very much for your time this evening. That's Nick Kunzer from Sandlin Private Wealth, and also David Shapiro, who's the Deputy Chairman of Sasfin Securities in Johannesburg. That was the 5 o'clock shadow. The gentleman will be back together with me on Tuesday and Thursday of next week, and I'll be back with Nick Kunzer tomorrow morning for the opening. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors, and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.